ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Like I said, I kind of saw this as a physical army, but now I really see them as demons. David Guzik wrote, "But a human army this size has never been seen. The total size of all armies on both sides at the height of the Second World War was only 70 million. In 1965, China claimed to have an army and militia of 200 million, but this claim was doubted by many. Even if such an army was assembled and marched towards the West, it is hard, but not impossible, to see such an army killing a billion or more people, a third of mankind. Therefore, perhaps the safest interpretation is not to see this as a literal 200 million strong army, but a demonic army invading earth. This continues the idea of the demonic army like locusts described earlier in this chapter." And I think that's true. I think these are demons. Remember what we read in verses 13 and 14. "The sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, 'Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates.'" I think these four very demonic fallen angels, once they're released, they gather this demonic army. And maybe they split the 200 million into four parts. Each of these demons, military demons, have, you know, a quarter of this army. It's very possible. Here's the key for me. The sixth trumpet judgment and the sixth bowl judgment happen at different times. They're not happening at the same time. Remember, the trumpet judgments come first, and then we have the bowl judgments, and we have seven bowl judgments that have to come forth. So I don't think what we read here in Revelation chapter 9 is related to what we read in Revelation chapter 16, because they're different judgments of God. I think this is taking place right here at this period of time when these angels are released, not the Battle of Armageddon, during that period of time. I like what Donald Gray Barnhouse wrote. He said, "It might be well to point out also that so far as Asia is concerned, demon religions are all east of the Euphrates River. India is said to have 33 million gods, and we are told in the Bible that all the gods of the heathen are demons." Yeah, I mean, think about what is being worshipped in that part of the world. All the demonic activity that's going on. And then here, it's all unleashed upon mankind. A pretty huge destruction, to say the least, right? We can't even comprehend what this is going to be like. Not even close. Look at verse 20. "But the rest of mankind who are not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts." When you read this and see all that's been taking place upon the people of this planet, don't you think that they would repent? Don't you think that they would say, "Uncle," right? And turn to the Lord. "Okay, Lord, we are sorry. We repent." They know where the judgment's coming from. But again, their hearts are so hard, they refuse to repent. And they're going to rather worship the Antichrist and Satan himself rather than Jesus Christ. We saw that in Revelation 6, verses 12 through 17, where John said, "I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. And the sky receded as a scroll when it was rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" You see, it's not a matter of the intellect, guys. They know where this judgment's coming from. It's a matter of the heart, and they refuse to come to Jesus. They'd rather have the rocks and mountains fall on them and hide them. But can you really hide from God? No, you can't. And those who are rejecting the Lord, we see what's manifested in their lives. In these two verses, there's five things in which they refuse to repent of. And I think they cover the two tables of the law, that which dealt with man's relationship with God and that which dealt with man's relationship with his fellow man. In Revelation 9:20, we see that they're into idolatry, and that's nothing more than demon worship. The first table of the law, who are they worshiping? The Antichrist, right? And idolatry is a big part of the last day scenario. And it's, again, years ago I used to think that the world's going to get less and less religious. And I guess I just didn't read my Bible enough, because the world is getting more religious. I'm not saying they're coming to Jesus. What I'm saying is they're very spiritual, and they've opened themselves up to all kinds of demonic activity. And we see a lot of that today. You look at what some of these churches are getting into. I'll tell you, you want to freak yourself out, go watch some of this stuff with holy laughter and being drunk in the spirit. And you go, this is demonic in nature. This is not of God. In fact, God condemns that kind of activity. In fact, I think it's in Isaiah, God says, I'm going to make you drunk, but not with wine. That's exactly what drunk in the spirit is. They're so drunk that they have to have designated drivers. Are you kidding me? That's not what the Bible says. I watched one segment, and I think it was Kenneth Hagin. He was up on stage, packed out house. I mean, they're pack them out. And he's slaying people in the spirit, and they're falling over in their chairs. And then he's drunk in the spirit, and people are drunk, and they can hardly stand up. And he had to get his bodyguards who are around him to help him to get to his chair, because he's so drunk he can't even walk anymore. And he sits down, and he's so drunk that he looks at his watch to see what time it is. I thought, you creep, you. You're a liar. You're a deceiver. And you're deceiving these people. Do you see how demonic this stuff can be? Even in the church. Well, how do we know if it's of God or not? Is it in the Word of God? Where do you see drunk in the spirit? Where do you see holy laughter? Where do you see being glued to the floor where you can't remove yourself? You'll never find it. And for most people, it's a show. They just act. They pretend. So idolatry, yeah. People are into all that kind of stuff. And I think the big thing for the last days, I wasn't really going to get into this, but is the lie. What's the lie? The lie is from the Garden of Eden, when Satan said to Eve, "You shall not die." There's no judgment of God. And if you eat of this fruit, you will be like what? God. There it is. And look at the push today. New Agers have been saying this for years. We're God. We just don't remember. We have to remember we're God. Well, you know, I am forgetful. I forget where I put my keys. But if you forget that you're God, you got a serious problem, right? We're not. But this is part of the lie. And we see it in the church. You look at some of these health, wealth, and prosperity teachers. They will say we're little gods. Dogs have puppies, cats have kittens, and God has little gods. It's a lie of the devil. God says, I will have no other gods before me. There is one God, yes, manifested in three distinct persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But there is only one God, and it's not me, it's not you. We got to remember that. And is it amazing what people worship today? I remember it was years ago, I think it was up in Green Bay or somewhere, that the saint for lost things was stolen. Well, where do you go now? The God who finds lost things was stolen. Who are you going to go to? That's how crazy it is. We go to the woods. We take a piece of wood. We carve an image on it and we worship it. Are you kidding me? But that's what we do instead of worshiping the living God. Remember that at this point now, the Antichrist has already gone into the Holy of Holies, the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. And we'll talk about the rebuilt temple when we get to Revelation chapter 11. But he goes in there at the 3.5-year mark of the 7-year tribulation period, demands to be worshipped as God. And that's when the Jews flee to the mountains, to Petra. The world will worship him as God. And I think it's at that point when Satan, or when the Antichrist goes into the Holy of Holies and demands to be worshipped as God, I think Satan enters him. When you see his actions after that, it's demonic in nature. Henry Morris wrote this. He said, "For many years prior to Christ's return for his saints, there will have been a revival of occultism, astrology, spiritism, and kindred doctrines of demons, even in Western cultures, preparing the minds of men everywhere for a worldwide return to pagan idolatry in the final days of the cosmic rebellion." Absolutely. I showed you before that there's Christian witches out there. You think, are we that biblically illiterate that we know that we agree and say, yeah, she must be a Christian witch? Are you kidding me? But that's how far we have come. We have Bethel Church using tarot cards, but they're Christian tarot cards. That's like saying Christian yoga. It's an oxymoron. You're being, with yoga, you're being united with the God, with the Kundalini force. Oh, but it's just stretching. Understand, yoga's just not stretching. You could stretch. You don't have to do yoga. Yoga is working. These demonic creatures are working in your mind if you're involved in that kind of activity. He goes on to say, "Great worship centers will then be erected with grotesque images of modern art depicting the various cosmic and terrestrial forces and processes, presumably controlled by the principalities and powers of the Wicked One, and these will become objects of worship, with men and women in effect thus worshiping those evil spirits which they portray and represent. Worshipping idols of gold and silver, brass and stone, and wood is, of course, the same as worshipping the demons who are associated with them." It's just like the Roman Catholic Church that put up the big statue at the Colosseum of the god Molech for people to go and see. Why would you put a statue of Molech? Molech was a false god, demonic creature, in which they would offer their children as sacrifices as they placed this image, this bronze image, in the fire, heated up the hands, and they would place their children on them. And the Jews did the same thing, and they would beat drums so they didn't hear the screaming of the children. Are you kidding me? We go, how barbaric. Well, we do the same thing. It's called abortion. We haven't learned. I know it's hard to believe that idolatry is growing today, but it is. New Age, Eastern mysticism, and so on. Do you really see New Age bookstores anymore? You really don't, do you? Because you know where they're at? In Christian bookstores. That's where they're at. They've infiltrated the Christian market. I can go on this. I won't. But like the Course in Miracles. Okay, I will. Why are Christians involved in that? It's demonic. Jesus calling. Are you kidding me? He already called. I've got his word right here. It's already transcribed for me. I don't need another calling from Jesus. It's demonic. And if it wasn't, why did she have to make rewrites to correct errors that were in there? If Jesus was really calling her, there would be no errors. And there's plenty. I like what Psalm 115 says. "Their idols are silver and gold, their work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk, nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them, so is everyone who trusts in them. That's a true statement. We become like the gods we create. Maybe it's materialism, sex, drugs, whatever. Those could be idols in our lives. Why are people so prone to get involved with these things? I think the main reason is there's a God-shaped void in their heart that they are trying to fill apart from God, and it will never be filled. The only way you will be satisfied, content, is by allowing Jesus Christ into your life, because that will fill the void that is there. Everything else won't. And that's why people move from one thing to another to another. And whatever God you serve, you will become like them. That's just the way it is. We serve the living God, and our desire is to become like him. His nature flowing through our lives. I like that our God is not dead. I know some people like to say he is. He's not. The tomb's empty. He's living. He's able to respond to our heart's cry. Psalm 116:1, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Aren't you thankful for that? You know, these people that aren't talking to the true and living God are talking to demons. But we talk to the true and living God, and he answers every prayer we give to him, every prayer that we speak forth. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, and sometimes it's not yet. But he answers them, and he knows what's best for our lives. Again, here in Revelation 9, verse 21, John speaks of murders, mind-altering drugs, fornication, stealing, the second table of the law. And if your relationship with God is askew, if it's off, then your relationship with everyone else will be off. That's just the way it is. They don't have the Spirit of God to guide them down the right path. And so the things that are manifested in their lives, they don't bother them anymore. Their conscience becomes seared with a hot iron. So those feelings that something is, that you're doing is wrong, go away. Because God has built in us a conscience. We know what's right and wrong, but we can sear it and keep doing the wrong thing over and over and over again, and then we lose the feeling. We see lawlessness growing, don't we? Have you ever thought that you would see all the violence, destruction, burning of buildings, all that stuff, and the news media and the politicians praise it? Have you ever thought that you would see something like that? But that's the mindset. Why do we see churches joining Black Lives Matter and Antifa? I don't understand that. Idolatry, violent crimes, murder, immorality, just flowing. Who would have ever thought Superman was gay, right? But now he's gay. I told my wife, you know, when you wear leotards all the time, you know, that could be a problem. But see, this is what they're doing. They're changing everything to fit what they want. Be careful you don't get sucked into it. And here's the thing. They don't have the Spirit of God in them. So what other creatures don't have the Spirit of God in them? Well, wild animals. So look at the behavior. They're like wild animals. You know, was it in New York that a woman was raped in a subway station and no one did anything? I'm thinking, what is wrong with us? Are we so busy with our phones no one saw it? Or do we just ignore it? We're led by the Spirit of God because the Spirit of God dwells in us and it helps keep that flesh under control. Not that we're perfect, but man, what should flow from our lives is the love of God. You see, I think in Galatians 5, when it's talking about the fruit of the Spirit, I think love is the fruit of the Spirit. It's singular, fruit of the Spirit. What's manifested out of that love, that agape love? Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What are you feeding your spiritual life with? The things of God or the things of this world? Whatever you feed is what's going to be manifested in your life. One writer said, one of the clearest proofs of the depravity of man is his implacable hatred of the only solution to his greatest problem. Yeah. What's the only solution? Jesus. But they refuse to repent. They suppress the truths of God. We see that today. And God says, I'm giving you over to these wicked things, debased mind, activities. I'm giving you over because you've rejected me. You have all the proof you need. Heaven declares the glory of God. All you have to do is look at creation. You see, there is a God. And in his word, he reveals himself to us, who he is, and the relationship he wants to have with us. Jesus Christ is the only solution to man's problems. Years ago, probably some 24 or 5 years ago in Chicago, they had all these shootings going on. Well, they kind of like today. But this was their solution to their problem. We need to have midnight basketball games for these guys. That's the solution. No, the solution is Jesus Christ, because he's the only one that can change a life. Midnight basketball, did it work? No. Look at the violence in Chicago. I think they had one day, 24-hour period of time, there were no killings in Chicago, and they all wanted to celebrate. And you go, wow, you're excited because you didn't have one murder in 24 hours? I don't know if I'd celebrate that. That's a pretty sad statement that you're excited because in 24 hours no one was murdered. But that's what we're seeing today. Here's the thing. If you're hungry, if you're thirsty, focus yourself on God. He's the bread of life. You'll never hunger. He's the living water. You'll never thirst. Draw close to him. Satisfaction's found in him. Ray Stedman put it like this. He said, this is where this passage leaves us, and I want to leave it at that point. I've been writing a commentary on the book of Hebrews, and I've been struck by a question that the writer asks in the second chapter, which is really the theme of Hebrews. He asks, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How can you escape if you neglect the offer of the grace of God? God does not want to judge men. He does not like judgment. But that is all that is left for those who reject the way of escape, which the grace of and mercy of God supplies. Wow. How true. You know, people have a really wrong picture of God. They think he's so judgmental and hateful and angry. And no, he's not. He's a loving God. If we truly knew everything that is going on in this world, everything, like God does, I think we would have smote everyone. But God is patient, he's long-suffering, he's very gracious and merciful, and he's giving people an opportunity to repent and get right. But if they don't want to, judgment will come. You won't escape the judgment of God. Today is the day of salvation. It's not time to pass it up. And I realize, you know, as we've been going through these judgments, it's pretty heavy material, right? But we're going to get a little break in Revelation chapters 10 and 11. Before the seventh judgment. And then, you know, we do get a little break in 12 and 13 and 14 again. Before we get to 15, chapter 15 deals with kind of a preparation for the bowl judgments. And then in chapter 16, we get the last judgments of God, the bowl judgments come forth. But what John is going to do over the next pretty much several chapters is fill in the details. Again, before we get to the seventh trumpet judgment and then to the bowl judgments after that, a little breather. And I'll leave you with this. In Jeremiah 29:11, this is what the Lord says. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. May we remember that? We look at all the things that are going on and we think, God, where are you? What's going on? I don't understand this. How could this be happening? I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. God wants to give us a future and a hope. The question, I guess, has to be, where is your future and hope? Is it in this government? Is it in this nation? Is it in your job? Is it in Jesus? In this world, you will have tribulation, but in Jesus, we'll have peace. Let's put our hope, our faith, our trust in him, no matter what comes our way. May we remember the thoughts that God has towards us, peace and not of evil, to give us a future and a hope. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your hope and comfort and peace, even in the days we're living in. And Lord, we pray that you would give us a boldness like we never had before, a boldness to bring the gospel message to the lost, opportunities to share our faith, that you would remove the blinders from their eyes and soften their heart, that they would come to saving faith. Help us, Lord, not to become cold and insensitive, but to have that agape love, a love that reaches out to people like you do, Lord. And may many come into the kingdom. We thank you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.